flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to chop the weeds. Thanks to our sponsors at Manscaped, you can trim those holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers, y'all. Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for the Thomas Island audience. If you use our code, TAMA, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They're here to make sure your balls are trimmed and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. Manscaped has all the tools to get you spring ready. Have you heard about the Weed Whacker? It's a nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. There's no more gross nose hairs flying off into the wind. Plus, the premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor and a 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Manscaped is making it easier than ever to whack your weeds and also to make sure that you have the most confidence while also providing hygiene. Speaking of incredible hygiene, Manscaped has formulations to keep you fresh and ready for everything that comes your way all day. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial for your balls to stop sticking to your leg. I use it. It's great, especially as the summertime gets swampier. If you go to manscaped.com right now and use the code TAMA, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. That's right, use the code TAMA for free shipping and 20% off at manscaped.com. Manscaped, shave your balls.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Just in time for July 4th weekend, we're proud to present the Thomas Island Summer Collection. In collaboration with LaPellier, I have put together a special collection of extremely limited edition apparel and accessories designed specifically to celebrate this summer. From hats to shirts, tank tops, pins, stickers, and even swim trunks, this collection has something for everybody.
That's right. We're going to drop the collection at 12 p.m. Eastern time on July 3rd. That's right. This Friday at 12 p.m. And you got to make sure to get there on time because as part of the special drop, we're going to have a bundle. That bundle is going to have board shorts. It's going to have stickers. It's going to have an exclusive bundle pin and an exclusive bundle tie-dye shirt. And these are definitely going to sell out. They're even more limited than the rest of the collection. So please don't miss out on the drop. Head to thomasisland.com on July 3rd at 12 noon Eastern as this, it's going to sell out. You don't want to get FOMO. You don't want to wonder what could have been. Again, thomasisland.com, July 3rd at 12 p.m. Eastern. All your summer needs are going to be taken care of.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for joining us here on another episode on Tama's Island. I am your host, Tama freaking Tonga. My co-host here, Ross Berman. Brother man, how you doing today?
You know, it's been a dark, stormy day in Chicago, but as I'm making my way to the island, the sun's actually starting to come out. So it's starting to be a pretty nice day up here in the Midwest. How are things down in your neck of the woods?
It's pretty good, man. We had some showers this weekend, but nothing too crazy. And it was a great weekend. Today's been a great day. It's been sunny for the most part. This past weekend we played some golf. We talked on the Friday deal here that my father came up for Father's Day weekend, and with my brother Hikuleo, and we went with our father-in-law to play some golf, which. My father calls my father-in-law my father-in-love. He has, yep. You know, my dad,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
he's like, there's love there, and so it's not just the law that makes this marriage; it's the love.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked that little tidbit a lot.
Yeah, man. I tell you, my pops he's something else. All the fathers out there, happy Father's Day, Ross. Happy Father's Day to your father.
Thank you. Yeah. Happy Father's Day to you. You're a papa. You're a proud daddy.
Oh yeah, man. It's been a nice, beautiful, different ride as you know, as my second year being a dad, and it's been a true blessing and different. Changed my life. 360, man.
Was this your first Father's Day where you were able to really be home for it, or have you been able to celebrate with the kids?
Oh man, I'm trying to think. I can't. Yeah. I was away. This is my first Father's Day here home.
Well, then that's big, man. Congratulations. Yeah. Got to spend it with the family. Got to spend it with your dad and your brother. Yeah. Did they seem to have it? How was golf? Who won? First of all, who won golf?
Not me. Man, we went 18 holes, bro. I was sweating. Now, you know, that night on Friday night, we did happy hour, and you know, I had been drinking some wine, and my father came in with Hikuleo, and we continued on the wine fest right after the happy hour. And then my father-in-law came in and joined us, and we continued the wine fest all the way till the early morning, and we had to wake up early to go golfing that morning. So that first three holes, it was so damn hot, and there wasn't a wind anywhere. There was no breeze or nothing. It was like just standstill.
That's brutal, especially on the course when it's just because it's there's not a lot of trees around. It can really air can hurt you.
Oh, I was sweating so bad. I was cursing up and down the first three holes. I was like, there's no way I can make 18 holes. There's no way, you know. And finally, you know, things started to okay. I got hydrated the first nine, and then the back nine, I started to improve my game. We still lost. My father and my father-in-law beat us, me and my Hikuleo's ass, real bad. Wow. I put a clip up on my social media on the Instagram stories of Hikuleo swinging, and you can see him cursing a storm. That was our whole day right there. Was
I was trying to tell you guys in the chat, you got to keep spine straight, got to follow through.
Now Hikuleo has sent me a video on how to like golfing tips, and you know, I took it serious. I went and watched it. I realized later on he was messing with me because he sent that to everybody. You know, but here I am taking it serious, and I did end up doing better than him. Maybe he should have taken his own advice and watch the damn golf video tutorial at least, you know.
He was hoisted by his own petard. Wow, that's
all right. Well, you know,
darn shame.
Yeah. So we're gonna, you know, happy Father's Day to everyone out there. That as a daddy, keep fighting the good fight, man. Hell yeah, you know. So, but this week here on Thomas Island, this episode, I wanted to switch it up. We've been getting deep into my life, and we got something planned for the next episode. But this one, with all the news coming out, with everything that's happening in New Japan, I'd like to touch up on that. And Ross, you're the New Japan aficionado, and I like to pop you off some questions. I want to see your thoughts. What do you see the now 2 weeks that New Japan is open and been running, and with its New Japan Cup, its first match before the cup, what are your thoughts? I want to come into your world, bro. I want to know what your views and understanding of our product is. Yeah,
like a lot of wrestling fans, I was a little hesitant about pretty much any company that's running right now, just because of the way the world is. It's hard to really be able to account for everyone's choices. It's hard to be able to account for everyone's habits. And so there's a lot of pearl clutching going on. And so when New Japan came back first with that Together project, and you saw that they had the plexiglass between the announcers, they had the announcers spaced out to the point where Liger was so far off camera that they had to put a screen in the middle of them. They had an intermission where the entire arena was wiped down by men in raincoats. And so it was nice to watch a wrestling program and actually feel like the world at large is being addressed. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like it's still a distraction from all of the just horrible stuff that's going on in the world, but it also is acknowledging that there are ways to move forward.
Yes. And
that's I think that's important.
Yes, very, very, man. You taking notice of those details. You also mentioned last Friday that they came in during, was it you that said that they came in during matches and wiped it down with?
Yeah, they had an intermission where you literally are watching guys in raincoats wipe down the railings, wiping down the mat, wiping down the ring. And so it's a very transparent experience. There was a pre-show even where you watch guys like Tanahashi, Tai Chi, all getting their temperatures taken. And so that way you can actually see them get cleared by medical professionals. It doesn't take a lot to be able to like make people feel at ease. We just need to see what you're doing. That's the whole thing.
Very transparent, huh?
Exactly. Transparency. It's really, especially with all of the stuff between positive tests and between various promises that get made. It's very nice to see precautions. It's nice to feel like you're not taking the crazy pills for once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like that's kind of the nature of the wrestling world right now. Is you're either acknowledging something's going on, or you're, and not even wrestling, just the world at large. You're either acknowledging it or you're not. You're wearing a mask or you're not. You're, you know, eating indoors or you're not. And so those of us like myself who are immunocompromised, and I'm wearing a mask, I'm not eating indoors, but I'm walking by packed brunches where the patio's full, and I'm like, that's all right. You start to feel like you're taking crazy pills. You start to feel like you're the, you know, you're like kind of Howard Hughes shut in.
I hear you. I'm at the gym, and to enter in, you come in and take your temperature, but you have to wear your mask, your face mask. But they said that whenever you're on the equipment, you don't have to wear it because it's a pain in your ass to wear that thing while you're working out. You're trying to breathe. It looked like one of those elevation masks to help you with your lungs, but that's how it feels like to me. I can't breathe through that. So sometimes when I'm finished working out on a machine, I'm going to the next one, I just pick up my stuff and walk without putting the mask on. And I can see people looking at me. I'm like, what? Is there something on my face? And then I realize, oh, it's not what's on, not on my face. That's what's happening. I should be having my mask. And I started, I'm like, come on. You know what? I'm taking crazy pills with you.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I will obviously, because you have to walk everywhere in Chicago, you take the mask down if you're not around anyone to breathe a little easier. But then when you pass by someone, you just pop it right back up. But it's not even about rules. It's about holding yourself accountable. It's about, you know, self-awareness, really. That's the game of life. But New Japan came back with a little transparency, a little self-awareness. They had a nice fun night of tag matches from the Together Project, and they kicked off we're still in the middle of the first round of the New Japan Cup. They've been taking it nice and slow, but the matches have been fantastic. It's been a very good time.
Okay, now fill me in. Tell me, you know, let's pretend that I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
And you're explaining to me from beginning what you saw, the matches the first day, and where we are today. Tell me what your thoughts, your critiques, who you're seeing, where you see people's storylines moving, what are they doing with everyone?
Well, first, the first thing I've noticed is because of the selection of talent, they can only go with wrestlers that are in Japan. And so you're seeing a lot of young lions in the tournament. You're seeing a lot of junior heavyweights in the tournament. And so it's giving some people time to showcase in a way they normally wouldn't during New Japan Cup season, during Dominion season. So you're seeing stuff like your boy Yujiro Takahashi. It's very hard for him to get out of that first round of the New Japan Cup, but he's out. He's going to be in the quarterfinals. Taiji Ishimori is going to be able to take on Yoshinobu Kanemaru at some point. So we're going to be getting some old rivalries reignited. But the real kind of focus has been on sort of newer talent, like Ibushi obviously got a good win, but Tai Chi, Suzuki Gun's Holy Emperor, Tai Chi got a win over Hiroshi Tanahashi this morning. Tai Chi busting many people's brackets, not mine, because you can kind of see he's getting that momentum. People seem to be getting on the Tai Chi train, and now he's heading to those quarterfinals. You're seeing some interesting upsets like that. Sho defeating Shingo Takagi despite the fact that Takagi is now a heavyweight. Some sea change is happening, let's put it that way.
Now I remember we talked about this, this was at the very beginning of the pandemic,
3 months ago?
Yeah, it was right at the beginning of this whole project.
And I asked you about each, mostly each faction, and you talked, and we talked about Suzuki-gun and everybody's role as, you know, Suzuki's getting older and who the ones will be replacing, and you were talking highly of Tai Chi.
Yeah. There's something about Tai Chi between the, he's got a very theatrical entrance, but I think over the past couple of years, he's really, I don't know how to put this because I'm not a wrestler, but he has leaned into it a little more. He's hitting a little harder. He's walking a little taller. He's been a little more confident over the past 2 years, and it's starting to feel like the results are speaking to that.
Nice. Okay, I can see that. I can understand that. And now, so they have Zack Sabre right behind him. And your thoughts on Zack?
I think Zack's an amazing talent. I think he is, of all of the members of Suzuki-gun, he is the closest cut from Suzuki's cloth. You know, especially when they team together, they are very, they're very in sync. But even Sabre, you're starting to notice he's teaming with Tai Chi more. They've got that Dangerous Techers team.
So
even Suzuki's consigliere, Zack Sabre, is starting to kind of gravitate towards Tai Chi as Suzuki is aging out. I mean, we already saw Nagata beat Suzuki in this tournament. Suzuki is not able to make it out of that first round. Mm-hmm. Neither, for that matter, was Sabre. But Tai Chi is able to topple the ace. Was it because of knee injuries? No. Who knows? But he still beat him. He still toppled the ace.
Hey, a win is a win, man. A win is a win.
Bingo.
At the end of the day.
Bingo.
So I had seen you tweet out a tweet. I think it was earlier this morning. And if you guys don't know Ross Berman's Twitter handle, it is Ross. You go ahead. Let me plug that in. The sweet plug.
At Ross W Berman IV on Twitter. That's right.
Yeah. Check out his tweet. I saw your tweet this morning about El Desperado, and that you could see him being a champion by the end of this year. Mark my words.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Desperado has been a very big, he's been a pillar of the junior heavyweight division, especially because of the nature of his relationship with Hiromu. The two of them have very good chemistry. And so it's the kind of rivalry you can always go back to. And it feels like as the junior division starts to get a little crowded, like I said, Sho is starting to really show some opportunity. Yo is coming into his own. As the junior division crowds, you're starting to see some guys head over to the Never division. When Desperado fought Ishii in the first round, they had one of the matches that people keep talking about as one of the matches you have to see from this first round of tournaments. And that's been a case with Desperado. And because Ishii has been such a big part of the Never division, if Desperado is able to put in a match like that with Ishii, it might be the division for him while the juniors kind of fight over who's number one. If he's not Never champion by the end of the year, he's not Never champion by the end of the year, but I could see it. And there's a lot of time between now and then.
Very nice. Very nice. I guess Desperado, I had some experience with in Mexico, and I just saw his game get upped high percentage once he spent that time out there and coming back, and his lucha style with the New Japan Strong style is really, to me, it can only get better and better as he's becoming more confident in what he's doing. And when he's put into bouts with the Ishii, let's say, you know, Takahashi, it brings their A game up, and it refines their arsenal, their way of wrestling. So, yeah, man, I'm a believer in Desperado. I'm a believer, definitely.
I kind of want to like pick your brain on that though, because like I was saying with Tai Chi earlier, there's some ways I obviously can't verbalize when a person starts to as you said, like, gain their confidence. What are some of the things you think that Desperado was really good at picking up, or what changed when he went to Mexico that you think was the center of that confidence?
Okay, just to kind of fill you in on Desperado's background, he is a shoot amateur wrestler. He is legit. He's got that background, so he can handle himself on the floor. Mm-hmm. He's very agile and strong, flexible. But
you're not wrong. He is. He's a bendy guy.
Yeah, and Mexico, going to Mexico and learning the smoothness, the mm-hmm. The lucha style with mm-hmm. him, it helped him a lot, because I training with him in Japan, it wasn't smooth. You could tell the choppiness. But going to Mexico and picking up that style and learning his to be a base was a major up in his game. Major up, you know. So I look at Desperado as a guy. He has offensive moves, but I don't see them as strong, or maybe isn't placed properly.
Okay.
You know? So, but everything else is, I like it very much. Mm-hmm. Everything else is covered.
Gotcha.
Learning those offensive strengths, mm-hmm. you get those from guys like Ishii, you know, and you get competitors up to mm-hmm. bring out that fight, you know. So, and that's just me. That's just me on that, because he can do the lucha style and yeah. like nobody in Japan yeah. right now. I my honest opinion. So.
Gotcha. That was what I wanted to ask about, is because like I said, I can't verbalize that. I can't, but what you've described is exactly what I was trying to like figure out is that, cause I think so many people, because of the name, because of the mask, they immediately think of him as a luchador. They don't remember the fact that he has that background. He has that amateur base, mm-hmm. which makes it, again, it's why he's such a perfect fit for Suzuki-gun. Cause mm-hmm. he has that, but when you said if you put him in a ring with a guy like Ishii, he's going to start relying on that more. It's going to start bringing out. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what happened in this first round. Is you start to see El Desperado, the offensive wrestler, not just El Desperado, mm-hmm. the sneaky, you know, yeah. tag guy. You know, because he's yep. very sneaky. He's very yeah. wily and he's very quick. But when you put him with Ishii, ooh, they really start to lay into each other, and it becomes a whole new dynamic.
Yeah, I feel like, as we're talking right now, Ishii's that guy that he's proven himself over and over again to be, I mean, a pit bull, right? Mm-hmm. So when pit bulls, when you're training a pit bull, you put in with another pit bull, which is a training pit bull, to get stronger, you know? So,
gotcha.
You know, I feel like mm-hmm. he's our guy that you put him in for guys to start getting stronger, to level up, and it can only learn, you know, and, mm-hmm. and toughen them up to start going bouts, going the distance with bouts, you know. And Ishii's that guy. Is that, you know, man, gives me chills just thinking about him. Yeah, but
do you think that never division is kind of like the pit bull division? Because when you describe Ishii like that, I think you could say that sort of about like a Goto. You can say that about a Nagata, yeah. about a Shibata. It feels yeah. like the never division is where they have the pit bulls kind of train strength, yeah. you know, iron yep. sharpening iron kind of thing.
Yep. That's true. The never is the pit bull stadium, and that's the mm-hmm. training facility for I like that. So you
interesting. Yeah. No, because we're breaking down the whole division here, because it does all of the matches really have that vibe, because that's I've always tried to figure out what sets them apart, and the minute you said that, it all clicked. I'm trying to get us back onto the New Japan Cup, or else we're gonna, yeah, it's gonna be yeah, a whole yeah, episode
sorry to
on
take you off. It's nice, no, it's you're nice good to talk about it's, these things, you know.
I agree. I just want to make sure we're not doing an entire Ishii El Desperado Suzuki Goon episode. But what do you think of a guy like Sho? Because Sho is someone who last year, I think, really made a break for single stardom in the junior division.
Yeah.
This yeah. year, he's been flirting with the never division like Desperado. He had a match with Takagi. He's been kind of fighting around with Goto and Ishii. Where do you see Sho kind of fitting into New Japan right now?
I could see him coming up to the heavyweight. And I think, yeah. I get this feeling that all these junior weights, they see mm-hmm. there is a opportunity or there is opportunities to move up. Mm-hmm. And you got Ospreay, Shingo, you got a show. They're all trying to shoot for that because that's that's the ladder. That's climbing up the ladder. Yeah. And show, he's handsome, good looking, great body, great work ethic. He can definitely come up. But he's got to fight for that spot, just like you know the other guys. Do I see him coming up? Yes. Is it soon? I don't know, and I don't know about that yet.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question: is what is the future for show? Because he does feel, and there's a lot of guys like this, but he feels like he's on the precipice of something. I don't know what's on the other side of that door that he's standing on.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like we can't talk about the New Japan Cup without talking about Sonata, because Sonata came so close last year to winning it.
He was a
fan favorite for it. This year, he's another person who a lot of people are saying might go the distance, especially
how's he been doing lately.
He just beat Taguchi last night, and so where Tanahashi and Sabre and guys like that have failed, Sonata is still alive. Where do you see a guy like Sonata kind of fitting into the future of New Japan? Is he going to be that single star, or do you think he's still going to be in the tag world?
No, he's definitely going to be a single star. Okay. The tag deal is, it's like a stop before you move on up, you know, before you move on up. It's a time to learn. You're still learning, and learning tag only helps your arsenal, you know, how to control yourself, how to control others and moving on up. And you can tell, like you said, before last year, before this pandemic, we were all pushing, or he was pushing pretty hard, and the people were behind him. Now, unfortunately, the situation in the world kind of put everything on pause, but I don't think it would be hard for him to get going again.
Because in some ways that can be a blessing, that in the past, 100 something days, he hasn't been wrestled. He hasn't, he hasn't had a chance to lose. He hasn't had a chance to do anything other than just build up that popularity he had at the beginning of the year. Do you think it could possibly help him more now that we're just kind of back, and he's still in somewhat, like I said, we're only past the first round, but he's still somewhat in that position he was in last year.
I think there's still, this will prove his pulling power. Gotcha. If he can still pull the people behind him with this situation, we're going to see what he can still do, you know? Now, Sonata has a past.
I was about to ask, because he was in TNA for a little bit, which means he would have been down in your area, down in Florida around that time.
Yeah, he was in TNA, and before TNA, he was with All Japan.
All Japan. He did, I believe.
It was All Japan.
He was working with Muda a lot, I believe.
And he was the, now we're going to do a little history on Sonata from, you know, my knowledge.
Bring it.
In 2011, after the tsunami that hit, the earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan, we did kind of like the same similar all together show, and all the companies came in and we did a show together. And it was me and Naito versus Joe Doring and Sonata.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was still in my snooker gear and barefoot.
This would have been Stardust Genius, Red Shorts, Naito. Gotcha.
And Sonata was supposed to be the guy to carry. I just named the company. I just went blank here.
In All Japan. He was the guy they were trying to focus on.
He was supposed to be the guy. And it ended up not happening. He couldn't pull the company through at the time. All Japan was falling behind with the shows. He was very young then, and they wanted him, and but it just, he didn't have that pulling power. Now, after he left All Japan, he went with Muda to TNA. Mm-hmm. And I remember him debuting out there, and I kind of see this time as his time to still learn, you know, still figure it out. You know, mm-hmm. he went to the top. He was at the top of the company. He was supposed to be the guy. It didn't happen.
No,
he couldn't do it. He couldn't pull the people in. And then, so he left. He went on his journey. Let's just say his journey to becoming, you know. And so he went to TNA, was figuring it out in America, trying to still learn some things. And over time, and then he did some traveling around Mexico. When he came into, you know, to New Japan and joined LIJ, I think this is that time. Okay, he's already went once. He learned from it. Now he knows this is coming back again. And I have a feeling he's older, he's smarter, wiser, and knows what didn't work last time and what he could do to work this time. So okay. I that's what my belief is. And I have to take that side because I'm an optimist. Mm-hmm. I am. And I feel that would be, wow, it just went to a long ass explanation. But
no, it's perfect because you really do make it, because it, obviously, I would have had to ask at some point, how has Sonata changed? But he has changed, it sounds, so drastically from when you first met him that it's sort of mm-hmm. like he's pretty much the Sonata you're knowing now in LIJ is a new Sonata to you. It's a new, yeah. It's a guy, it's a patient guy, is someone who's really trying to learn, who doesn't have the weight of an entire company on his shoulders like he did in mm-hmm. All Japan.
Yeah.
I think that's very interesting because it really it adds to that. I don't know how to describe it. He has a very pirate look now. He looks like yeah. someone who has been on a journey, like you just described.
And oh, so yeah.
To give that history, I feel like adds a lot of context to where he is this year in the cup and in just New Japan in general.
Oh, yeah. They're going to – the way I see it, and we'll just take a little side story. The way I see it, you're going to have Naito. Mm-hmm. You have Ibushi. You have mm-hmm. Who else? Who else is in that run? Who is on the
Okada.
Top? Okada, the most important one, Okada.
I think you also got to sneak Jay White's name in there.
I was getting to him. you got Jay White, you got Sonata, you got Evil, you have I'm trying to run. Not, Tai Chi's kind of making his. Mm-hmm. It's not strong yet, but
he's making a case for it. He's not gonna go down swinging. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So there's going to be guys shooting for that top. I think this is going to be real interesting, this stretch that we're about to begin starting now. Okay. But when we shoot, you got older guys that are going to be moving out. Tanahashi, all the older guys, you know, Goto. I don't know about Goto yet. I'm still waiting to see because he's a pit bull fighter, right? He seems to be the gatekeeper to people going up.
I was gonna say he's kind of positioned as that as you can't, if you can't get through Goto, you don't get to the Tanahashis, the Okadas, the Naitos.
Right, and so there's gonna be an interesting. I want to say land grab here, you know, for the title, for the top, you know,
because it's a very, especially after the pandemic, it's a very open world, because whatever plans they had in January can't like, you can still get to where you were trying to go in 2021, but the road is different. You're on a completely different path right now. And so it does feel like there's a lot of opportunity in the air.
Yes, definitely. My brother and I always talk about this. We feel that the playing field has been leveled for everybody all across the board, not in just wrestling, but the whole world has the playing field had been leveled, and there's so much opportunity now if you are aware of it to make that mad dash for. So definitely it's going to be very interesting coming running to the end of this year and what this Tokyo Dome is going to be like.
Yeah,
who's that guy, you know? So whew, shit, man. You never know. I might be making a dash for that land grab too. Hey,
well, relax now. I was gonna say because you're speaking to what I was trying to kind of highlight with just who has been advancing so far. Because like I said, mm-hmm. Tanahashi knocked out in the first round. Minoru Suzuki knocked out in the first round. This is very much a certain generation,
yeah,
that is stepping back. In the case mm-hmm. of Tanahashi, he's stepping back, and Taichi is gonna get a little bit of some shine in the quarterfinals. In the case of Suzuki, he's letting Nagata take over as some kind of as mm-hmm. the elder statesman of this cup, because you have to get through at least one of those guys to get to that yeah. cup. And yeah. so the fact that for the first time in years it's not Suzuki is definitely says something.
Right.
And so you are kind of seeing the face of the future show up yep. as opposed to, well, especially while they only have the Japanese talent at their hands, they only have the people that are living, that they're really being able to say, well, these are guys we were going to highlight anyway, so let's yeah. really let them shine. Yeah. It's been fast. I want to talk about some of the guys who haven't wrestled yet in the cup, because we've got four matches that still haven't happened in the cup, and some of them are very important guys, like Evil is someone who hasn't wrestled yet. How do you feel about Evil's standing, especially now that we've had this conversation about Sonata? Because it's entirely possible to level that peak, but right now Sonata's the guy that's being kind of starting to get that popularity behind him. Where do you see yeah. Evil going with the fact that he kind of has to find a way out of Sonata's shadow?
Ooh.
I'm just saying, Sonata's casting a long shadow over everyone in LIJ.
I know. Well, see, here's the problem. Here's mm-hmm. the problem. Where he goes, is he trying to go and shine?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So who's he trying to outshine where he goes? That's the question here, because everybody's got their man, and mm-hmm. you know, they're waiting to see who's going to be making that move to the next level. Mm-hmm. And you know, I could see that earlier, before that Sonata and Evil were like, when we were doing the tag mm-hmm. world tag leagues, they were both neck and neck as in popularity.
Yeah, they're doing this little steeplechase kind of thing where you're watching them. Sometimes Evil will overtake, sometimes Sonata will overtake. They're both drawing huge houses at events like King of Pro Wrestling against Okada. Mm-hmm. Like there is a race there, and it's just I feel like the question, I framed it wrong, because I was like, how do you extricate Evil from Sonata? But the question is, how do you extricate both of these guys from each other? Because they're both mm-hmm. on some kind of a trajectory.
Right. So now that Sonata's taking off,
mm-hmm.
where does this leave Evil? Mm-hmm. And I think this is what we're going to have to find out here. And from this stretch on, is where does he go? Where does he become a pit bull guy? Does he become, you know, make it, but we don't know. We don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
You know, I don't even know that. You know?
Yeah. No, that's fair. I want to kind of put you on the spot now, because we've been talking about a lot of wrestlers and how they could be factoring into the future of New Japan. But I feel like we can also talk about how they could theoretically, hypothetically, let's imagine, so to speak, mm-hmm. where they could fit in the future of Bullet Club. Like, if I was to put out this list of Sho, Sonata, El Desperado, and... you know what? Let's say Evil. Let's add him as the final name. Uh-huh. Who in that list does Bullet Club take? Who in that list would Bullet Club hang their hat on as this? I think we could help this guy rocket to stardom.
Hmm. Hmm. Give me that list again. Show.
Show.
Uh huh.
Sonata.
Sonata.
Then let's see. Evil.
Evil.
And who was the last? Oh, and the last one was El Desperado.
Okay, El Desperado. Okay, so you got two guys from Chaos, mm-hmm. one from New Japan, or one from Chaos.
Two from LIJ, one from Chaos, one from Suzuki-gun.
Suzuki-gun, okay. All right, why'd you give me those guys?
Because those are, I think outside of Tai Chi, those seem to be the guys where there's some kind of, because like a lot of guys, they already have a path. You know what I mean? And yeah. yes, like I said, the path has changed because of what's happened. But there are, I feel like there are guys like Sho, like even Sonata or Evil, where the future is kind of unmarked territory. Like they can still do whatever they want with their future. It doesn't have to end one way. And so if one of them could, I don't know, maybe fly the Bullet Club flag and
I would take Sho.
You take Sho? Okay.
I would take Sho because I already explained some of the things I see in him. Good looking guy, great work ethic. Mm-hmm. Can definitely to learn some charisma. Mm-hmm. I feel he would need to be in Bullet Club to learn that charisma, and that would help in his molding of a wrestler as a top guy. I already know that he would push for the top, but mm-hmm. it's all about slow. You don't want to move up too fast because you fall down mm-hmm. very fast. So building a guy like Sho, he's young, and it gives us time to build, because right now I told you there's going to be an interesting, everybody's going to make a dash for it, you know. And if we had to think of class, what class mm-hmm. it would be, Sho is the class after me, right?
Yep.
So Sho is a class after me. In my class is Sonata, Evil, all these guys.
You and Evil were in the dojo together.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. So we're in this period where we're all gonna be going after it, you know. That's
okay.
So it makes things interesting. You know, I don't want a guy that's going to be in my club going, you know, we're in the same class shooting for the same thing. Because then we're canceling each other in the group already. Mm-hmm. See, I like seeing what's happening in LIJ. I love Sonata and Eva going neck and neck. Because that only makes things real interesting inside their whole little group right now. One guy's getting jealous of the other. The other guy's getting, yeah. I don't want that shit for my shit. Nah. Mm.
Uh-uh. Well, no, and that's why I wanted to add like a number of generations, is because I got the vibe that like when you think about Bullet Club, you think about the future. You think about who can I, you know, help mold. It's because you always talk about how, especially when you put it in like the Michael Jordan terms, you're the guy telling people to go to the gym. You're the guy telling people to, you know, kind of keep their stuff in check. And with Sho, you don't have to do that. He's going to keep his stuff in check. He's gonna already, you know, and it's much more fascinating to think about it that way than just sort of, well, the roster is the roster. When you look at like, well, there's classes to this and there are levels to this, and that's why I like talking to you, Tama. That's why I like talking to you. But now with the new Japan Cup, you're starting to see the junior heavyweights start to, I don't know how to put this, because I don't like to make the heavyweights and the junior heavyweights into this like one on top of the other thing, but it does feel like you get to see a glimpse of what the junior heavyweights could do in the heavyweight scene. How do I get to this? You know what? I'm gonna throw out.
Let me see if I think I know what you're trying to get at.
Yep.
Let me see if I can answer it without you asking.
Yep.
Now you can see that the junior weights are making a dash forward. They're busting their butt. They're pushing hard. These guys, I want to come to the heavyweights. The reason why they're doing this, I feel, is because New Japan has structured their cards, their pay-per-views, to where the heavyweights get the finals.
Okay.
The final match, you know, and that's what we portray out to everybody. This is the match that you're paying to come watch. Mm-hmm. So as a junior weight, you feel when you're a champion, you're a second champion.
Gotcha.
You know why? Mm-hmm. And they're looking to main event.
Gotcha.
And that was the argument from some of the guys, I think Will Ospreay and Takahashi, this past Wrestle Kingdom, because there was going to be a double Tokyo Dome, that why not make the juniors be a main event in one of them?
Yep.
And so I could see how they feel. Mm-hmm. I, you know, because they have outstanding matches. They have, you know, match of the night at times. But because of the way New Japan structures their matches, it seems more, puts more emphasis of being a heavyweight man.
Do you think that it's because New Japan isn't the only company like that. We're pretty much, a lot of the Japanese promotions are structured similarly. Do you think it's a standard that New Japan set, or do you think it's just something that pro wrestling as a whole is trying to
pro wrestling as a whole. They all copied each other. Mm-hmm. And when it was taught in Japan, when wrestling was brought over to Japan, that's what was taught.
Gotcha.
And so can there be other main eventers besides just a heavyweight? I think so, but we'd have to find out. The problem is whoever's running it is afraid to do it, because if it fails, it falls on them.
Gotcha.
I feel. So to change the game, why change something that isn't broken, right? Yeah. Why try to fix something that isn't broken in their eyes?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, you know, why not try something new?
That was going to be my next question. Do you think we're going to get to that point where the junior heavyweights main event Tokyo Dome? Do you think we get to that point where we can make them a quote-unquote?
To answer some of these gripes and grievances, I think there will have to be something to find out, figure out.
Okay.
And we talked about tag teams. If, you know, I know we got the tag league and it, you know, that main event's a pay-per-view, but that isn't a later in the year. There's different shows, the junior heavyweight, Super Juniors, best of the Super Juniors, best of the Super Junior tag. Everybody has their turn, but when it comes to the Tokyo Dome, Tokyo Dome, that's the money. That's where the gold get to. These double domes, I think, could be an answer to one main event could be the juniors. The other one could be a main event for the heavyweight, to where they both share, you know. How do we go about that? I don't know. Can we find out?
And that was why I kind of wanted to phrase it that way, is because you bring up a really good point that it's not as simple as putting a main event in the Tokyo Dome. Because of what the dome represents, and because of the way you have to make a conceited effort for the entire year to focus on the juniors for it to have that heavyweight impact, the usual heavyweight. And so it does require so much, I think, more restructuring than people realize. There are levels to this thing. There's always levels to this thing.
That's level. Definitely.
Now that the New Japan Cup is now that we're at the point where the New Japan Cup is this year in the summer, now that we're seeing it for the second year open to junior heavyweights, do you think they're going to keep the, because last year we had the G1 was open to Takagi and Ospreay, who have both since then, we're already in the process of transitioning to heavyweights. Uh-huh. Do you think there is a chance they open up the G1, or do you think it's going to stay heavyweight?
Oh my goodness, it's 2020, bro.
Yeah.
And I feel like anything can happen right now. So it's 2020, just kind of, like I said, just leveled out the playing fields, and anything, whoever makes that dash for it and got the balls to take a dive, you have a chance. There is a 50-50 chance that you're going to get it. So that's a very high margin of a percentage there for you. It's 2020, man.
Yep.
And way they're doing this New Japan Cup, it's open. And there's so much, man, I don't want to curse, but there's so many messed up things going on. Yep. Fudged up things, but that anything can go, man. It's crazy. It's crazy right now. I'm not going to say no, but I'm not going to say yes. But I am open to the idea. Let's see what happens. You know, let's see.
Yeah, I like that. I like the idea of kicking the door open and seeing where stuff goes. So I've been saving this, and I feel like now is the right time to put you on the hot spot. Who do you think is going to win the New Japan Cup this year? Just throw it against the wall. Who do you think is this year's cup winner?
I would have to probably ride with Sonata.
Yeah. That's who I've got.
Besides, if all my Bullet Club guys don't make it, I mean, put that out, all right?
I was going to say, Ishimori made it. Yujiro's fighting in about 11 hours, so he'll find out if he beats Goto. So there are still some Bullet Club guys in it, but let me
rephrase that, all right? Number two is Sonata. Right now, I got to see who my Bullet Club brethren is going to make it. If they don't make it, then Sonata's my second choice, all right?
There you go. No, I'm with you. I'm doing very, thanks to Tai Chi, I'm doing very well in my bracket right now, and I've still got Sonata winning the whole thing. We'll see though. We'll see. It's a year of surprises. That's like you said, it's 2020. Anything's happening.
I like it, man. Hey, that's good for now, man. Look, for people out there listening, if you want to see more of what's going on in New Japan, check them out at www.njpwworld.com. That's www.njpworld.com. Check out all what's happening right now with the New Japan Cup. Check out more on us as a product. Is you're gonna see very, very interesting facts and matches from the greats, man, including me. So
go find some Tamatanga matches. Let me put it this way: there have never been more Tamatanga matches with English commentary on New Japan World than there are right now.
And that's right. So this is your time. Go check me out. Damn it! No, but thank you very much for taking a listen, Ross. Man, this has been fun. Diving into New Japan. I feel like this is gonna lead into more things. We're gonna talk about New Japan and getting everybody well educated on the product, man, for sure.
Without spoiling too much, I'm excited for what you've got for us next too. That's going to be a fun time. Oh,
definitely.
You'll have to stay tuned, folks.
Yes. So my I don't know my social media. Hey Ross, man, you can plug me in, bro.
I gotcha. Over on Instagram, you're at the good bad guy Tama Tonga. Over on Twitter, you're at Tama_Tonga. You can also find Tama's Island at Tama's Island on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Ross W. Berman IV. That's the cavalcade.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Ross, thank you very much. You guys have a great week. I'll see you guys Friday at patreon.com/Tama's Island. Join us and we'll discuss this even more. All right. Thank you very much, Ross. You have a good week, brother.
You as well. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Whoa, you know we bout action. Whoa, you know we not lacking. Whoa, match us not matching. Whoa, triple for the road. Put my feet up in your face. No, we ain't tapping out. What? Y'all ain't put this way. Whoa, gorilla tactics. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Ain't nobody really the gorilla.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.